From National Public Radio in Washington, I'm Robert Conley with All Things Considered.
Once you start doing the drug often enough to get to the point where when you wake up in the morning, your nose is running and your stomach is cramping, and you know you can't stand for someone to come in there and holler at you, you know, you're totally different and you're spitting up from the bed to the toilet, you sick, and Harry has knocked on your door.
That anguish surrounds the life of a mother and nurse we call Janice in her struggle to break away from addiction. We'll have a portrait of Janice later in the program. We'll also look into what some barbers are up to in Iowa, trying to stimulate business. Some, though not all, because one barber says the new service makes him too nervous. But in the top of the day's news, the crush, catcalls, flux and flow of the demonstrations in Washington against the war in Southeast Asia. As a result of those demonstrations today, somewhere between 6,500 and 7,000 protesters have been picked up by the police. They've been picked up and put into buses and hired trucks and taken to a makeshift compound near the RFK Stadium. That's the home of the Washington Senators and the Washington Redskins that was named after the late Senator Robert F. Kennedy. The day started out almost before dawn and went on in flux and ebb and flow until about noontime. The demonstrators sometimes moved out into the street, stood in front of cars. They shoved parked cars into the street. They dumped trash cans. They set them afire. They spread, among other things, nails in puddles of oil on the pavement. They ripped up paving blocks from the sidewalks, threw them at passing cars at various intersections. You could see glass all over the street. A truck filled with paper was set afire at one other road crossing. While all of this was going on, flying squads of police, zigzagging on motor scooters, moved in and out of the city with tear gas, night sticks. Those are the heavy sticks that are weighted with a lead core in the center, and tried by charges and feints to break up the demonstrators. Some of the demonstrators cut fuel lines on buses. They abandoned cars. Some motorists said that as they were stuck in the morning rush hour traffic, that people came running up, pulled open the hood of the car, and yanked out the distributor cap so the engines couldn't run anymore. But federal authorities kept traffic moving across the four main bridges over the Potomac River. Those bridges were supposed to have been one of the main targets in this morning's demonstrations against the war. As part of that federal power, there were roughly 2,200 Marines and Army paratroopers. They moved into the city from nearby staging areas in Virginia and Maryland. Helicopters, for example, dipped down onto the grounds of the Washington Monument carrying Marines. The troops, whether Marines or Army, came into town in battle dress with camouflaged helmets, sheathed bayonets, and rifles. With all of that power against the demonstrators, the Attorney General was able to say, by mid-morning, the Attorney General John Mitchell was able to say, that the city's open, traffic's flowing, and the government's functioning. As a result of the arrests, there is a sizable crush in the courts in the District of Columbia. Eight judges have been told to stand by as late as 4 a.m. tomorrow morning to handle the crush of suspects through the courtrooms. At noon, National Guardsmen, as well as Marines and Army troopers, paratroopers, joined the police in patrolling the streets littered with tossed paving bricks, broken glass, as well as great hunks of wood and logs that the demonstrators hoped they'd be able to stop some of the traffic with. Great batches of the capital's roughly 318,000 government workers, however, set off much earlier from home than normally and showed up at work hours early, so they avoided a great deal of this. The Civil Service Commission, which is the main body overseeing the activities of all the federal government workers, said the attendance at government offices was overwhelmingly normal. Beyond that, at the White House, Mrs. Nixon was able to give a luncheon for congressional wives without any audible or visible disturbance while that was going on. And late in the day, the Federal Bureau of Investigation has picked up Rennie Davis, one of the organizers of the demonstration. They've accused Rennie Davis of conspiracy and interference with federal workers. Still, rather than pulling in reports from all over town, we thought we might try to take you to the event to get the feel, the texture of the sort of day it's been through a mix of sounds and events.
Come on and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here's a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. All her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom. Glory shall rest on us all.
Thousands of young people came to Washington willing to risk being arrested in order to end the war. They went into the streets this morning to stop the government from functioning by clogging many Washington roads during this morning's rush hour. For many demonstrators, the mobile street tactics of civil disobedience are an expected spring event. But before today, many other young people who came to Washington had not been willing to oppose the state with their bodies. For these young Americans, today was a major test of their commitment to the ethical code of the young and the angry. It was their Freedom Ride, their Selma March, their May Day.
Stop the war now! 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 Stop the war now!
1, 2, 3, Army helicopters flying surveillance over this small section of Washington's complicated highway system. A line of young people has just come across the highway. Traffic has stopped. And here come the police. 1, 2, 3, 4 police on motor scooters. One demonstrator knocked down by a motor scooter policeman. Anger now. Anger of the young people. Here come more police.
Come on, people!
The demonstrators just told a motorcycle sergeant that one of his men did knock one of the demonstrators down.
All right, where? Let me get an ambulance down here for you. Motor 3 on the Southwest Freeway. Have one injured down here. Could you send me an ambulance, please? It's right at Main Avenue.
And he hit the kid. He went right through the line.
That guy passed me and almost knocked me down. And a blue...
Yeah, but it's policeman we're talking about.
Policeman.
A motorcycle
hit him. Not a citizen.
Right there, the man over there. Right there.
Sergeant, excuse me, Jeff Kamen, National Public Radio. Is that a technique where the men actually try to drive the bikes into the demonstrators?
No, it's no technique. We're trying to go down the road and the people get in front. What are you going to do? You don't stop on a dime.
What happened, officer?
That doesn't count. Bricks. That don't count.
Somebody threw a brick at you, officer?
Yes, sir.
Right here? As you were driving through?
Right.
One of the motorcycle police officers says someone threw a brick at him. I was here at the time. I didn't see anything thrown. Army helicopters coming in low. Keeping constant surveillance. Keeping the various command posts, military, police, and obviously presidential, advised as to what's going on. One helicopter now is in real low. Military police helicopter. Up on the rise of this highway section, young people are holding American flag upside down. A handful of police officers has succeeded in clearing at least half of this roadway, and traffic is flowing again. A Washington, D.C. bus has just arrived. Police officers wearing white riot helmets come out of the bus. They snap on their helmets. Integrated police team. The demonstrators are fleeing. The police officers are carrying or wearing their tear gas masks. The tactic this morning, the citywide tactic obviously, is to keep the demonstrators on the run.
With almost everybody who wants to get inside the Pentagon already inside, as you make a ring around, you see only a half dozen young people sitting quietly, placidly, across the street from the river entrance of the Pentagon. Now, are you surprised to find yourselves the only ones here?
Yes. There'll be more people later, though, like I said before.
You sure?
Oh, I'm positive. Well, this is where people want to come to.
How do you explain the fact that you're the only ones here so far?
Because there was other things to be done. They had to stop the traffic from getting here first. I think that was the first objective, and then I think now they'll try to get here.
Well, look, there are supposed to be thousands, and there are only six of you.
There's thousands of Marines and thousands of cops, too.
It's easy to get over in small groups, but large crowds really have a rough time. They get busted before they get over.
If you do not move back where you were, you'll be placed under arrest.
You saying that officially, that if
yes.
we do not move,
right on.
We're here
if you
to
don't
take
go back on the other
we're
side.
We're here to take the tour.
We don't have any tours.
Yeah, that's not what I was told. There's tours through the Pentagon all the time. Where do we go to find out about the tours?
I'm telling you, there's no tours.
Will you give that to us in writing? That there are no tours in the Pentagon?
I tell hundreds of people each day there's no tours. You don't have to write it.
There are never any tours through the Pentagon.
No conducted tours, unless you make previous arrangements.
Now, how did you get here?
I came by boat on the Potomac River.
Is this your boat?
Yes.
Would you describe it?
It's a one-man kayak.
Well, it must be pretty hard to get here if you're the only demonstrator in front of the Pentagon and you had to come by kayak.
No, I'm sure I could have driven a whole lot easier.
Yeah, but anyway, this man is wearing orange, what do you call them, Mae West, is that what you have on?
It's the life preserver.
A life preserver and a white crash helmet. And he carried a green kayak from the Potomac River onto the grounds of the Pentagon. What are you going to do now?
Go back to the Potomac River. Maybe paddle across and go through the reflecting pool, then back upstream.
But surely you must have expected to meet a lot of other people here.
Yes, I did. I'm kind of disappointed.
Washington is literally girded in a series of expressways. And as they come into the city, they overlap in many places. So many places that it seems that wherever the police go to move demonstrators, demonstrators are still able to move elsewhere.
All the pigs came running out and just spraying mace and grabbing people, and they just got them all over to the side, and it was over as fast as it started.
Were they careful about who they maced?
No. There was a priest up there I saw. There were some straight-looking people, you know. They were just... I mean, they were macing them in the back, you know, which I can't dig. You know, I mean, they were already running, and they were chasing them with the mace in their hair and in their ears and the back of their neck, and there's, you know... They were running away, not towards.
And they maced them in the back?
Yeah. I mean, they all were being maced in the back. The march never went forward. It was always being backed down here as a retreat. And instantly, it was like stopped and turned around, and the whole time they were just macing them in the back.
I see you're wearing Red Cross insignia. You're part of the medical cadre of the demonstration?
Yes.
Two police officers just grabbed two demonstrators. They were just walking. Officers are now searching the pockets of the demonstrators. One demonstrator is forced to lean over the stone wall. Search is peaceful but unprovoked. Tear gas is being fired outside the Department of Agriculture. There weren't a lot of demonstrators here, but when the police moved out, they grabbed as many long-haired young people as they could find. Grabbed them and searched them. Put them up against walls, buses, cars. Searched them. Today in the nation's capital, it is a crime to be young and have long hair.
At this point, some of these demonstrators are stopping traffic, lying down the roadway, stopping traffic on the way, the access route to the Theodore Roosevelt Bridge, which leads into Virginia from Washington. It's right below the Lincoln Memorial. A group of people are here. They have stopped traffic. Police are making rather widespread use of this tear gas. They just got shot with it. Groups of demonstrators have attempted to stop traffic. They have not succeeded. They've stopped traffic only momentarily, and police moved in with such a show of force that the demonstrators were forced away. The police have been making very free use of tear gas, and at one point I saw two policemen pinning down a young man, and one policeman was punching him in the wherever. I couldn't see if he was punching him in the face or the stomach, but I did see him repeatedly punch the young man. And then he was led away to be arrested.
Here are a number of young people who've been gassed. How you feeling?
All right, my eyes are burning a little bit. My skin burns, and I always react this way to gas.
I'm fine, brother. We're going to shut the fucking city if it takes all day.
Are they going to stop you today?
It looks that way. It's just, you know, it's just so disorganized. You know, like I was hoping that we could just, go in en masse somewhere and just sit down and then just, you know, be peacefully arrested.
There's not enough people in
but,
one place.
I don't know, they just, you know, the scare tactics are working, I'm afraid.
Officer, can you tell us what the arrest is for, please?
So I've been trying to get him to tell me.
A young man wearing a Vietnam Veterans Against the War badge has been arrested. Another young man has been arrested.
You can tell me. I don't know where to arrest.
No.
Can you tell us what the charge is, officer? Press, officer.
Back. You can't come in front of police lines. Let's go. That's okay. Go ahead.
How about the press card?
No, not in front of police lines today.
Well, I just don't know how much more running we can do and how much more gassing we can take. I really think that we could achieve our tactic by taking a long time to get arrested, without resisting, with being nonviolent.
Independence Avenue in Washington, choked with tear gas, as are not only demonstrators, but people who happen to be on the streets. More tear gas, people vomiting on the street. Not a lot of demonstrators here in the area of the Washington Monument. Lots of tear gas.
I was with this one kid who was busted, right? And he walked into a police car clean. His face was clean, right? I'm sitting here now, handcuffed behind his back. We walked in here now, police ambulance, blood all over his face and bloody. He couldn't move. And we saw this kid walk into a car clean.
Now, what happened to you?
Well, I
was by DuPont Circle, and like we was peaceful. This pig gonna jump out the car and start beating on us.
At Washington Square, when the cop busted me, they put me in the car. I was peaceful. Then when they got me in the car, he said, "You're stupid, kid." And he whacked me with the billy club while in the car.
Right there in the eye?
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 11 stitches.
Yeah.
And it goes right up through the side of the eye, up into your eyelid.
Yeah.
Is this going to stop you?
No.
They haven't scared you off?
No.
This is the very thing, you know, you're protesting about, man. They're doing the very thing that, you know, you're trying to end. They're coming and just beating heads. It's done all over the world. They're doing it at home. They don't really care, you know, who they do it to as long as they maintain the status quo, whoever, you know.
Yeah, the cop that busted me said, he said, "How old are you?" I said, 19. He said, "How come you're not in the Army?" I said, you know, I didn't say anything. I didn't, you know, he said, "You're chicken," and started hitting me.
A cop jumped out the bus and said, "We're going to kill y'all and be y'all damn people." Because and as soon as they, it's because like we told him like we didn't want any trouble. He gonna holler where you gonna get trouble. Basically tried to run over him with the coal. After he get out the coal, he gonna start beating on me. There's no room for nonviolence. The only way you gonna beat this dog on me is to use the tactics he used. Hell, after spending 13 months in Vietnam and come back here and get my ass kicked, I don't need it.
What about the younger people who were there with you? Do you think that they learned something, people who hadn't been in Vietnam, who hadn't had your experience at seeing violence?
Yes, they learned something. They learned that the only way you can beat force is with force.
What are you going to do for the rest of this week?
What am I going to do? Keep on protesting.
But you just told me that the only way to meet the violence of the establishment is with violence.
When they hit me, I'm going to slug them back.
Do you think you can do that, considering the fact that they have...
I'm trying.
Four cops would jump on top of someone inside the car and club them on their heads till they couldn't see or till they couldn't talk anymore, and then bring them here like they were beat up or fell down by themselves before. And most of the people weren't doing anything at all. I mean, very few people were putting barricades into the streets.
We were standing down on the corner, and a busload of police came up, and they seemed to be really pouring out of the bus. And I didn't know what to do, so, like, you know, I ran like hell. And so, like, I was running along. Someone clubbed me in the stomach, but, like, my coat protected me. And then I was running through a parking lot, and someone threw a club at me.
Threw a club at you?
Yeah, threw a club at me.
Is that why you have that large chunk taken out of your hair and the stitches in the back of your head?
Yeah, that's why.
How do you feel?
Mad.
It strikes me, having been all around the city and observing police action, that their tactic is to frighten people into not doing it again. Do you think that that's going to work?
No, I hope not. I don't know, but I hope not.
No, I'm staying in Washington.
I think it could work. I'm not sure. Being realistic about it.
While the helicopters hovered overhead almost incessantly, the emergency room at George Washington University Hospital was being jammed to the overflowing. The Reverend Dr. Herbert Gardner, a minister, was volunteering inside. He was outside taking a needed break. Reverend, what's it like inside?
Sir, it's like I've never seen anything like it before. So many policemen, regular demonstrators are all together with their heads cracked open one way or another, or... Yesterday and the last week, it was nothing but acid heads that took too much acid with strychnine, which is rat poisoning. And this week, it seems to be, well, the starting Sunday, seems to be real vicious violence, such as cracked heads and bruises, breaking ribs. Most of the people, from what we heard and what they told us, and we're only just going on what they told us, was that the police sort of aggravated the situation by... charging in with groups with their clubs swinging and people putting saying we give up and putting their hands over their heads, and they're still getting clubbed, and they're not getting finished clubbed until the police are satisfied. The reason is we've had at least four policemen within an hour with heads gashed, which is unbelievable. I don't know where anybody could pick up the weapons to hurt a policeman when he's got a gun.
Now, Reverend Gardner, you yourself are a disabled Vietnam veteran.
That's correct.
How does all this strike you, given that perspective of having been severely wounded in Vietnam?
Sir, it's another Saigon. Today is another Saigon.
A young Washington police officer on duty in the same area had a different perception of reality from that of the injured or our reporter.
Where we're standing now, a demonstrator dropped that tear gas. I stood right across the street and watched him. I just couldn't get over in time to get to him.
The demonstrator dropped
we haven't thrown tear gas yet up here. The demonstrators have been throwing it. They got these little, in the green bags that they carry around. They have tear gas in there. The tear gas is not hard to get. I believe in what these people are trying to achieve, but like, I don't believe in violence. I'm not violent myself unless somebody directs bodily harm towards me. The only thing is just keep the crowd moving. Don't let them block traffic. Their main desire was to block traffic, to hold everything up, just to stop the city from moving. Our main function was just to keep them moving. If they stopped, arrest them. That's all. We got the order just to arrest just to arrest the demonstrators. While all these people with the white shirts are standing, they were the ones that were blocking the traffic. I say we should arrest them also. I arrested one of them, and it made me let him go. Just because he lived around here, and I don't believe in it. If you're wrong, you're wrong. At first it was just to arrest the demonstrators, and then after they saw that the white-collar workers were just standing there getting in the way, said to arrest everybody. So I'm going to tell you, the only way this department is going to change is if they get rid of these old policemen. A lot of the old policemen I've talked to have believed in the old ideas of grabbing somebody and just beating the hell out of them. I believe if you can talk to a man, talk to somebody man to man, and they understand you, everything should be fine. But they want to grab somebody, start hitting them across the head, and you know, just doing outlandish things that I don't agree with personally. Some of the demonstrators are here just for peace, but like the Weathermen, organization, they're here just to do as much bodily damage as they can. And that's it. They're not here. I don't think they believe in the cause. because all they want to do is just come here and see somebody and just start chaos, that's all.
The officer said in general he felt that the demonstrators were fairly treated by police. The reaction to the demonstration by Washington office workers was mixed.
I spent last night in my office on a cot so that I'd be able to work this morning. That was quite an inconvenience. As long as this demonstration is nonviolent, it has my sympathy, but with those who use force and use violence and throw stones, there is no sympathy.
I don't think they've been as effective as they might have been. I have my doubts about the effectiveness of something like this, but I guess they have to try what they feel will work. They seem desperate enough.
If it does not create a backlash, I think it is probably a very effective way of changing public opinion and the policy of the government. Certainly in the long run.
I see it a lot. They was blocking traffic, going on, fighting, beating them up, which they know they're mad. They know
they're
mad.
You mean the police were beating them?
Yeah, the police is beating them. They know the young people are mad. Why don't you come around? It's a gun, demonstrate in peace. And everybody join together and live in America together. That's what I believe in. Uh-huh. It's not only here. It's all over the state of America. The whole world should live more quiet. That's the way I feel like it. And let them have more freedom. And everybody come together. As long as you beat me and knock me up, you know I'm going to be mad for the next 10 years. It's wrong, ain't it? Yeah. I knock you down here on the street today. You going to feel something against me for the next 10 years. Let them have a freedom. And let it be willing from their hearts. That's the only thing going to beat this young generation. Except that, it's going to get worse. We all should live for peace. That's right. And I want to see my color, black and white, come together and live for peace.
My reaction to this is, like, the police, the army are over there harassing people. You cannot walk along the streets in groups of five in a peaceful manner. If you did, you'd be forced to break up or probably even be arrested behind that action. People are being harassed, tear gassed, also beaten with the clubs by police. Acting like the Nazis did. The Gestapo over there just harassing people and macing them, tear gassing them. You can't walk along the streets peacefully. It's very hard to, you know, do anything over there because of so much piggish people over there.
Do you feel that there should be more black folks involved in this May Day demonstrations?
There definitely should be black folks involved in it because black folks are the ones over there in Vietnam, you know. Black folks should be in it, definitely. I, as a black, feel that they should because their brothers are over there dying.
Like all this time, they've been talking about what they're going to do, and they knew before they came here that nonviolence wouldn't accomplish anything. So they just sat around when it came time for them to get down. They skied. That was it. I think we should have been here, but like I'm here watching it because if the black man didn't want to go to Vietnam, he shouldn't have gone. And we can't participate in something for peace when we don't even have freedom, man. You know, it's ridiculous.
Demonstration organizers held a meeting assessing today's action.
We have never claimed, and I certainly never thought, that we were going to win a military victory over thousands of troops. We definitely, I think everyone in this city had their lives disrupted and had to think about the war in Vietnam.
You had someone that certain areas were tied up for as much as 2.5 hours. Every one of us was at one place or another this morning, and none of us saw this. This is what we're saying.
I think that the questions that have been asked here are legitimate, in that no, it is true that we didn't stop, paralyze the city this morning, but on the other hand, we've never been involved in this type of a demonstration. Tomorrow morning, a lot of things are going to be much more together. Things like getting there at the proper time. We've been discussing in the office the fact that by 7 o'clock this morning, we had 1,000 demonstrators already in jail when the traffic flow hadn't even reached its peaks. So tomorrow, you know, we'd ask that the media get out, that the demonstration doesn't start until 7 or 7 o'clock. And I think that you'll see that we'll be much more successful in the morning.
In a moment, we'll have a discussion about what the effects are from today's actions.
This is National Public Radio.